Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Amen. So, whether you believe it or yes, this is a great gathering. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir, for obeying God. Amen. Can we appreciate God, servant, for putting this together for us? Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you very much. You know, earlier in the day when he came to the hotel, I was telling him that it's one thing to rise to the top. It's yet another thing to help others to rise. And you are not yet a success until you help another person to succeed. Amen. So I'm glad, sir, you didn't keep this success to yourself alone. You are stretching out to help many of us rise. Thank you so much. God is your eternal reward. Amen. Can we appreciate him one more time? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And Mama serving right alongside. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, my wife said to greet you before ministering. I've done my job. Amen. You can be sure she will follow us, and after service she will ask me, did you do what I said? So to avoid telling lies after ministration, greetings from my wife. I'm counting the number of people clapping for her. I will tell her, amen. Hallelujah. How many of us have been richly blessed with the first word we receive? Amen. Hallelujah. Without exaggeration, if we close the meeting now, it is worth it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when Pastor was saying just about 10 people that teach like I do, I'm sure he's one of the 10. Amen. Let's appreciate him. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. But one thing I'm very sure, you'll be glad you attended this meeting. Amen. God did not call the sons of Jacob to serve him in vain. How much more his family people. You'll be glad you attended this. Amen. God has prepared this feast for us. And we will live here enlightened, inspired, encouraged, transformed with testimonies in the name of Jesus. Let's pray, please. Our Father, we thank you for this great meeting you've given to us through your servant. Hallelujah. To prepare, equip, and encourage us for the work you have for us. Thank you for what you started doing, and we depend on you for much more. Tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, Jesus told us that you will teach us all things. We open up for your teaching. He again said you will glorify Jesus. I ask that you glorify Jesus as we speak. None of me, but all of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. First, I'll read verse 15 to 16. Hallelujah. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with what? Flesh and blood. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Praise the Lord. So like God's servant has talked about the book Understanding Your Calling, that's what I'm teaching on, amen? Praise the Lord. He said, God who has saved us. Okay, I want to stay with New King James until otherwise instructed. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Hallelujah. Before the world began or before time began is the same thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Understanding your calling. Amen. Now, is a subject that is inexhaustible, but the little God permits me to talk on, I believe will be blessed. Praise God. When it comes to your calling, I find out divided into three categories, broadly. Three categories. Number one, those that do not know there's a call upon their lives. Amen. There are many that don't even know that there's a call upon their life. And many believers live and die without knowing there's a call upon their lives. Number two, those that know they are called of God, but they don't know precisely what God has called them to do. Hallelujah. Like we had in the first word, ministry is not what you decide to do for God. It's not what you choose, it's what you are chosen for. Amen. So the second category are those that they know there's a calling, but what has God called me to do? I don't know. Praise the Lord. And you know the interesting thing is people want to give you a calling. Everywhere. I remember I went for a meeting somewhere one time. The first day of the meeting, the man of God introduced me. He said, "This man is an evangelist." I said, "Wow, I've never seen air in my life, not to think of van." So when I finished day one teaching, the next day he introduced me. He said, "This man is a teacher." Incidentally, I had four sessions. So I said, "Okay, maybe he's seen something." After the second night, the third day, he said, "This man of God is a prophet." I say, "Okay, prophet." The fourth night, he said, "I am confused. I don't know who this man is." Praise the Lord. He said, "Whether he's an apostle or a prophet or whatever." Can I suggest something to you? Never allow anybody to give you a calling. Never. Never. And I trust that I will get to explain that in a short while. Amen. Never allow anybody to give you a calling. Praise the Lord. As we are teaching now, if I call you by name, I say, "Moses, wouldn't you know that I've called you? Talk to me." Aha! So, my humble submission is, if you don't know there is a call upon your life, probably there is none. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't allow anybody to give you a calling. Praise the Lord. You know, this verse where we read, he said, maybe if we read from verse 8 so that you can all see what I'm saying. He said, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of who? Our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of who?" Who is he talking about? God, who has saved us and called us. The only one authorized to call you is God. Say amen. Nobody. Your father cannot call you. Your pastor cannot call you. Your prophet cannot call you. Nobody is authorized to call you. Thank you for one amen. You remember one of the scripture pastor read for us. Let me read that. I'll come back here. Amen. Hebrews 5 and verse 4. The way I've started, I will come back here. Lord, help me. Hebrews 5 and verse 4. See what this verse says. Can we read it? "And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is what? Called by God." Who is the only one authorized to call everyone? Now listen to me. Very simple statement. Every calling is by God, but confirmed by man. Every calling by God, but what? Confirmed by man. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let's establish this. Every calling is by God, but what? Confirmed by man. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, such as who? Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, so he's a black man. Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. See verse 2, very interesting. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, the God himself, said, separate me, what? Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. No prophet called them. God said, I have called them, but I'm using prophet to what? Confirm the calling. Can I talk to you? If nobody has confirmed your calling yet, you are still in kindergarten, amen? When it comes to calling, say an amen. I mean, if you are truly called of God, he will use human being to confirm. Every calling is by God, but confirmed by man. But you see, the problem with us is that we want to exchange it. We want to take calling from men and wait for God to confirm. To divinity is the call, to humanity is confirmation. Say an amen. So if you are under a spiritual leadership, for example, if you are in a church like this and your pastor does not know of your calling yet, don't worry about it. That means the vision is for an appointed time. Are you with me? When the time is right, God will tell your pastor. Now, if you study about Paul, he was called an apostle. And as of this time, Paul had been in ministry for many years. Many years serving. It's after many years that God said, now, separate him and tell people I've called him. Can I make a suggestion, please? So if your pastor has not recognized your calling yet, don't get angry. Amen? It does not mean he does not believe in you. It's just that the vision is for what? An appointed time. When the time comes, he will know. He will recognize it and he will separate you and he will introduce you. Say an amen. Even Jesus, our role model, God had to use John the Baptist to introduce him. Say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. I mean, Jesus could have said, John, I created you. Keep quiet. You cannot introduce me. Praise God. So when God calls you, wait. There will be human confirmation. Say an amen. But on the other hand, don't allow any man to call you. Like I told you my story, how they were giving me different callings. Thank God I didn't receive any. Amen. The one God gave me is more than enough. Say an amen. All right, so I said three kinds of believers when it comes to calling. One, those that do not know they are called at all. Number two, those that know they are called, but they don't know exactly what they are called to do. Hallelujah. Then those that are called, the third category, very beautiful. They are called, they know they are calling, and they are fulfilling the calling. Amen. I believe the reason we have this kind of meeting is so that each one of us will fall into the third category. So I pray a prayer for everyone listening to me, if you don't mind. Amen. That by the end of this meeting, you will move to the next level. If you don't know there is a calling, you will know there is a calling upon your life. If you know your calling, you don't know specifics, light will come and you will know the specifics. Now, if you know the specific, you will begin to fulfill your calling. Last category. If you know your calling, you are fulfilling it. My prayer is that you will end well. Kai, my prayer is that you will finish well. Say an amen. I pray it again. My prayer is that we will finish well. In the name of Jesus. You know, if you ask different believers different things, I'm sure if God were to corner you today and ask you or tell you, ask one thing that I should do for you. I know there are many things many of us will say. Some of us will probably speak like Solomon. Give me wisdom. Amen. But sincerely, you know what? I mean, if you x-ray my heart now, you will see it. If God were to ask me, ask one thing you want in this life, I won't think twice before telling him that I may finish well. Want to finish my race and finish well. I pray the same for you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, in a race, all run, but one obtains. Then he says, run that you may obtain. Now, you see, there are some natural things that help us to understand spiritual things. But there are some of them that, some spiritual things that are difficult to explain in natural times. Are you with me? For example, 100 meters race, maybe you have about 10 people running. Who wins? How many will win? One person. In the natural, the first person that arrives at the finishing line is the winner of the race. But you know, in this kingdom, everyone that finishes wins the race. Aye. Aye. If that did not bless you, you are not around. Let me try it again. In this kingdom, it's not one person that wins. Everyone that finishes wins the race. So, I am not trying to outdo my brother. I am just concerned about finishing. Did you get anything? My success in this work is not how much I displace another person. It's that I finish and finish well. Say an amen. And so when you see somebody seemingly from far behind you overtaking you, don't be moved. The important thing is that you also finish. You see, I'm already overtaking myself. Can I talk to you? How many of us love divine speed in ministry? I do. You don't like speed? Wave now if you love divine speed. Now, let me surprise you a little. In ministry, God does not give us equal speed. Are you with me? If God uses his servant to say, I pronounce divine speed on you all, we will not receive the same speed. You know why? Your speed is determined by your race. Am I talking here? Did you get what I'm saying? Your speed is determined by your race. Now, I'm trying to recall what are the areas I know in Gombe. Welcome to Gombe. We have welcome to Gombe. Aha. Now, if somebody is moving from here to the next junction where we enter church, amen, and another one is supposed to go to welcome to Gombe, do you think they want to move at the same pace? Welcome to Gombe will move faster. Am I right? Okay, then another person is supposed to go to Lagos. When he meets you that you are going to welcome to Gombe, moving around 40, 60, he will hunt you, pam, pam, pam. Why are you wasting time? He overtake, pow, 100 kilo per hour, he has gone. You will look at him and say, where are you rushing to? He's rushing to his destination. On the other hand, the person that is supposed to fly to Australia, even you that you are moving 180 kilo per hour, you say, why are you going so slow? We need to move at least 1,000 kilo per hour to arrive at our destination. So when you see somebody moving very fast, he's going to a farther place than yourself. Oh, nobody got my point. Did you get that? Did you get that? Will you give the person going to Australia a private jet, and also give the person going to the next junction here a private jet? I mean, somebody going to this next junction, what do you want to give the person? A bike, bicycle, or his legs? Can you see that? Can you compare the speed of leg and aeroplane? So in ministry, I tell you sincerely, when you see somebody from behind passing you very fast, don't envy them. Their journey is great. Your speed is according to your destination. So I pray for you again. You will arrive safely and you will finish well in the name of Jesus. Now, so by way of introducing what I'm teaching, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9c, the Bible said, God who has first saved us and called us. Who saved us? God. What did he do? And called us. There is a close relationship between our salvation and our calling. I will try and give you a little just to introduce my subject. Close relationship between our salvation and calling. He did not only saved us, he saved us and what? Called us. So listen to me. Two most important things in the life of every human being on earth. Two most important things. Number one, salvation. Number one most important question you must settle while you are alive is, where will I spend eternity? How many of us know that for a man to live and be very successful, humanly speaking, and end up in hell, he's a big failure? So the first and most important question is my salvation. Where will I spend eternity? The second most important question is, why am I on earth? Why am I here? Praise the Lord. I mean, we all agree and we all believe that heaven is far better than the earth. Now, since heaven is far better than the earth, why didn't God take you to heaven? Praise the Lord. As a praise the Lord. I mean, if you hear that your brother got a job in Canada, maybe here he's paid, his salary is 10,000 naira. Now he's in Canada, $10,000. Will you mourn? Will you feel bad for him? Or will you rejoice? Will you say, brother, remember me as you go? Is that not so? Now, boy, Canada is better than Nigeria in every, I hope, in some aspects, amen. Let's not give them too much credit, amen. In some aspects, likewise, heaven is far better than this earth. So why are you not in heaven now? How many of us like to go to heaven? Raise your hand. I'll pray for you to get there tonight. Why are you dropping your hand? I intended to make you relax and also I can teach, amen? So why are you not in a hurry to go to heaven? You know why? The only reason, please hear my word, I'm not missing times. The only reason, I did not say one of them, the only reason you are still on earth is to fulfill your calling. Only reason is to fulfill your calling. I know some of us want to say, no, it's my purpose. No, it's my ministry. No, it's my destiny. Please, just stay with me a little bit. I will explain in a short while. You see, all of these things I mentioned, purpose, calling, ministry, destiny. I'll try it again. Purpose, calling, ministry, destiny are one and the same. You cannot fulfill one without fulfilling the other. So if you are fulfilling purpose, you are fulfilling calling. If you are fulfilling calling, you are fulfilling what? ministry. If you are fulfilling ministry, what are you fulfilling? Destiny. Somebody say an amen. Hallelujah. For an unbeliever, the most important question as far as God is concerned is salvation. But for you, as a believer, the most important question as far as God is concerned is fulfilling your calling. Two different judgments on the last day. Unbelievers will be judged for rejecting Jesus. Believers will be judged for failing to do what Jesus have assigned them to do. In fact, for unbelievers, the Bible already settled it. He that believeth not in him is already condemned. But for you and I, the most important thing is what you did with your calling. Somebody say an amen if you are with me. Yeah, let me hear another amen. Can I say something that blessed me so much in this talk? Listen to this. Your salvation will take you to heaven. Your calling will carry other people to heaven. Kai, your salvation will take you to heaven. What about your calling? It will take many other people along with you to heaven. And you know what? I want to say something else. Is what I'm going to say next is in that book. Listen now. Very interesting. The devil does not mind you going to heaven, provided you are going alone. Did you hear that? The devil, if you're a believer, if you are born again, you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is in you, Satan knows that as far as eternal destiny is concerned, he has lost you. He's not contending for your soul. He knows who your Lord is. You are the one that doubts your salvation. Satan never doubts it. He can see where you are planted. So if you are born again, Satan does not mind you going to heaven provided you are going alone. But that devil is a liar. I don't know about you. I'm not going alone. I'm not going to heaven alone. I'll take my family members with me. I'll take my neighbors with me. I'll take my colleague with me. I'll take my nation with me. I'll take my generation with me. Somebody say an amen. I can stay so long on this introduction. You know the prayer Paul prayed for unbelievers? He said, for them, the God of this world have blinded their eyes so that they will not see the truth. So their own prayer is, let their eyes open and see Jesus. But for you as a believer, that's not the prayer. He said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what? The hope of your calling. So before salvation, what Satan is keeping from you is the knowledge of salvation. After you are born again, all he's after is, let him not know his calling. Let him not know his calling. Let him go to heaven alone. You know why? Your calling is very dangerous to Satan. Oh my God. Somebody say an amen. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. God's servant told us he started this Young Ministers Forum. His forum or Young Ministers Conference? Young Ministers Conference 4 years ago. How many of us have been blessed by it so far? At least me today. Let me see your hand now. Oh dear God. This thing, they shocked me. Are you ready? How many of us have been blessed so far? Please don't be angry, sir. Just for the purpose of illustration. Imagine if he had died 20 years ago. All the blessings we have enjoyed through his ministry, we would have lost. So praying that God preserve a man of God is doing yourself a favor. Come on, celebrate if you're in the house. You know why? Anytime a man of God falls, the kingdom loses. Every believer loses. Our generation loses. So if you are wise, you will never desire the fall of any minister. You say, but he did wrong. Let mercy prevail over his wrongness. You know, it's the understanding of things like that that will not allow people like us to condemn or judge any minister. I've had some people accuse me, there's a weakness about your life. I said, what is it? That you see this person did wrong very well, but you are still praying that he will do well. So what should I do? If a brother is overtaken in sin, let you that be strong do what? Pray that he be restored. He did not say kick him down. But you know what we do? God don't catch him. Damn, all these pastors, now one eye they take look there. May that one eye get blind forever. No, remember. Help me tell somebody, you are important to me. Hey, tell another person you are important to me. Amen. Please, sir, sit down. I'll be more comfortable if you are seated. Can I tell you something? I build on what he said. Very important. Oh, my God. If this does not bless you, you did not come to church. Can I tell you something? No two callings are identical in this life. Mm-mm. No two callings are identical. One time the Lord said to me, let me slow down so that you hear me. One time the Lord said to me, if you find too many... Praise the Lord. In the place of your assignment, you are the only person God has for that job. That means you are irreplaceable. You are very important in God's agenda. You know the way Paul puts it? He said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, let me try and find out if we have farmers in this place. Paul said, I have planted and Apollos watered. He said, but God gave the increase. Now, I want to ask you a question. Between the man that plants the seed and the one that waters the garden, who is more important? Think very well. Huh? I'm hearing something different. What did you say? The one that plants? They are equally important. Is that not so? So I ask you another question. This one, you must choose one. Amen? Between your padlock and your key, which one is more important? Okay, which one is superior? Huh? I don't know. How many of us realize that even though normally the padlocks are bigger than the key, the padlock cannot function without the key. That means, oh my God, dear God, somebody's hearing. That means no calling can be fulfilled in isolation. If you are padlock, you need a key. If you are key, you need a padlock. Help me talk to your neighbor. You say, tell your neighbor, say, sir, that means I need you. to your neighbor now. Say, that means I need you. Now tell your neighbor, bid me not to leave you alone. Your God is my God. Your people are my people. Your family, the family of Christ, is my family. And together we will enforce the kingdom of God here. Somebody say an amen. Please come. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come, please. I hope he's allowed to do illustration. All right. Please sit down. Praise God. Now, you see, 1, 2, 3, 4. They represent different calling. Say amen. And to each calling, there is a specific grace. No grace. No two graces are the same. To each calling, there is a specific grace. You remember that scripture I'm reading? Let's read again. 2 Timothy 1:9. Praise God. He said, God who has saved us and what? Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Hey, God, help me tonight. But according to what? His own purpose and... So there are two major determinants of calling. Mention them. Purpose and... So your calling differs according to God's purpose for you and God's grace for your life. So the grace on him is different from the grace on this brother. His grace is different from this. And his grace is different from this. Praise the Lord. Can I say something, please? Can I say something before I go further? It will help me. There are no calling without grace. No calling without grace. That means, what do I mean by that? Grace is the proof of calling. Grace is what? The proof of calling. Now I read another scripture. Please, if you need to write, get your writing material. I'm sorry. That's the way I roll. You can be here till we finish. Now let's go back to Galatians 1 and verse 15. I trust God I'll be able to help one person tonight. Let the person be saying amen. He said, but when it pleased God, when it pleased who? God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me how? Through his grace. Now let's read that in Old King James. Maybe you'll get it better. Amen. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by. So the proof you are called is what? The grace upon your life. Now you didn't get that, did you? Okay, let me go a little lower. John, hope you don't mind. Praise God. Pastor, attach you to me so I can bully you small. John, come. Did I call John? How did you know I called him? His name. Go back to your seat, please. Now, watch me. I'm still on this drama. Amen. Did I call John? How did you know I called him? By the sign I made. So the Bible said, God called me by his grace. So the sign you are called is what? The presence of grace. Teaching grace is sign you are called to teach. Prophetic grace is sign you are called into the prophetic. Evangelistic grace is sign you are called into evangelistic. So grace is proof of calling. Please help me preach that one to your neighbor. Thank you. Let me be sure one person is hearing me. So, based on what I've said so far, if I want to know my grace, sorry, If I want to know my calling, what's your recommendation for me? Find. So you already know what I came to teach. Pastor, I don't need to come tomorrow. They already know it. Now tell your neighbor, if you want to know your calling, don't ask anybody. Just find your grace. Don't allow anybody to introduce you. They just look at you and say, this is apostle of fire. What you should ask yourself is, do I have the grace of apostle of fire? Do I have apostolic grace that is splitting fire? If my apostolic grace does not have fire, I'm not apostle of fire. So, one of the ways God introduces anyone called by him is the presence of grace. The absence of grace is the absence of calling. The absence of grace is the absence of calling. Let's say it for the last time. The absence of grace is the absence of calling. Now turn it around. The presence of grace is the presence of. Thank you. Go to your seat. Amen. Can I ask you a question? So, if you live here and they ask you, who is the man called by God? What would be your answer? Yes? The man graced by God, isn't it? Thank you. Hey, Una, they help me teach you. You see the interesting thing about when I'm here? People are the one helping me teach, but only I take the glory, amen? I want us to read something. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. God is helping me to answer questions now. If you are getting answers, say amen. By the grace of God, as God permits me, amen. Tomorrow, probably in the morning, I will just show you on how to discover your calling. Very simple. But some of you already know it. You don't have to come. Praise God. As a praise God. Okay, let me personalize this. I was going to use pastor. Let me not cause trouble. How many of you know my father? My biological father? You know him? How did you know him? Did you see that? He said, I introduced my father to me. How many of us know that when I was small, 2, 3, it's my father that was introducing me. This is my son. This is my son. But now if my father walks in here, the introduction changes. This is Reverend Tende's father. You know, a friend of mine hosted us in Jos, Pastor Chintoksa. He hosted us in Jos. Very beautiful billboard. So I said, I need to go and see Baba. He attached some protocol to follow me, go to the house. My father is a very interesting man. Aged man, 98 years. You'll soon be 99. So, when they came, we all greeted. I introduced them to Baba. So, Baba now asked them, this pastor you follow come, what is his name? They said, Reverend Tende. He said, okay, let me introduce myself to you. I am the Baba of the Reverend. So, any respect you have for him, give me double. I said, Baba, nobody is contending with you. All right, now see this. See this. Let me leave that point quickly. When I was smaller, 2 or 3, Baba was the one introducing me. But now at my age, nearly every city we go, I will have to introduce him. Huh? Are you with me? Now, listen. If you have to introduce your calling, your grace is small. Kankanana. When your grace is developed,
your grace will introduce you. Something. So, can I make a humble suggestion to you, dear servants of God? Don't ever make attempt to introduce your calling. Let your grace introduce your calling. Get busy doing what God has assigned you. Grace will introduce you. So, everyone called of God is what? Grace by God. Can we say that again? Everyone called of God is what? Grace by God. Now, so, please, let's read this verse together if you don't mind. One, two, go. But to each one of us was grace given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Can we read that in Old King James, verse 7? Maybe some of you don't understand each one of us. Let's read Old King James. One, two, go. But unto every one of us is given. How many of us did God give grace to? Therefore, how many of us did God call? Did you get an answer? Now, listen to me. Everyone on earth, I try to say it very slowly. Everyone on earth, born again or not, is called by God. It's not everyone that is called to pulpit ministry as I'm doing. But everyone is called by God. Everyone on earth is called by God. Remember, I began by saying there are some that don't know that they are called. It's not everyone that know they are called, but you are called. If you are called of God, wave to Jesus now. So listen to me. I beg you, please hear me. When you see a minister malfunctioning, it's not lack of calling, it's failure to discover his calling. The most important thing is to find your place, function in your place, and remain in your place. Find your place. Function in your place. Remain in your place. There's a friend of mine that is called to teach and to sing. If he teaches more like 10 minutes, he will take a song. The place will catch fire. I decided to do voice training. Now, because you are laughing at me, I won't continue the story. Amen. I decided to do voice training so that I will also sing in between teaching. I went for voice training. My coach said, "Sir, if I were you, I would remain in my office." I just packed my load and went back. Say amen. So, everyone of called of God has unique grace. Say amen. So, Paul said something in Philippians 1:7. I needed to say this one up so that I will move a little faster. Amen. Are we getting blessed already? Oh, I want to be sure I will sleep well tonight. Are we getting blessed? So, Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 7, he said, writing to the church at Philippi, I want you to watch the use of what? Even as it's meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Help me read the last sentence. Ye all are what? Partakers of. Say it aloud. Partakers of. Hey, I thought it's the grace of our Lord Jesus. Now, I left some people somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter. What chapter is it? 13. Verse 14. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Read with me. Want to go? First sentence, everybody. The grace of our Lord. The grace is of whom? Say it again, I beg you. Let's go back to Philippians 1, verse 7. It's the same Paul that wrote both of them. so that we will lock him up. Philippians 1 verse 7. The last sentence. Let's read it together. He said, ye all are partakers of. He did not say the grace of our Lord Jesus. You know why? Titus 2:11 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus brings salvation. The grace of Jesus brings salvation. But, okay, for the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation has appeared to all men. But the one Paul is writing about in Philippians 1:7, he says, my grace. You know why? To each calling, there are specific grace. Your grace is unique to your assignment. One person must answer me before I run away. Let me hear your answer. Say, my grace is unique to my assignment. Say it again. My grace is unique to my assignment. So Paul said, you are partakers of my grace. Not the grace of our Lord Jesus. Not the grace on Barnabas. Not the grace on Peter. Somebody will catch me before I run away. If you are still in the house, say hallelujah. You know why? Everybody on earth has unique grace. I don't have the grace on pastor. I don't have the grace on pastor's wife. I don't have the grace on his life. It's his grace. I don't have his grace. I don't have his grace. I don't have his. None of them have mine. So you know the ones that do better in life, they are called partakers of grace. One person heard me. You didn't hear me. Did you hear what I said? You cannot arrive at your destination by your grace alone. To get there, you need to partake of grace. Let me try something. His grace is singing. Now I'm partaking. His own is to play drums. Now I'm partaking. His own is the keyboard. Now I'm partaking. His own is to do the live streaming so that the world will watch everything. Now I am partaking. Without them, I am limited. But with them, my ministry have greater impact. So I want to suggest something. Maybe I should ask you before I suggest. Who do you think will do better in life? A minister that runs just by his grace or the one that is partaker of other grace? Say it aloud. Say it aloud. So, sir, see Satan's wisdom for empowering us to fail. Hey, if one person catch this, I'll be very happy. So, I look at Nuhu. Because I'm looking at him, he's not smiling. I get angry and say, I have nothing to do with you. Go. So, I cannot partake of his grace. Why you carry Mark like a gala man? I don't like you. Go. You are looking too serious. We want people that we can go. I'm not talking with you. You like to smile with ladies. I don't like you. Go. You know what I've done? I have separated myself from all grace. So anything that will make you to cut off an existing relationship will cripple you in life. Anything that will make you cut off an existing relationship. I'm talking about godly relationship. I'm not talking about you and Ali. You mentioned Ali, so Mima, I don't go to Ali. I don't know who is Ali. If that is your name, it's coincidence. Amen. But I'm talking about godly relationship. Anything that will make you cut off from a godly relationship will cripple you in life. Listen to this. Isolation is limitation. Now, this is day one of this meeting. This is just the second word. We've not gone far. How many of us sincerely from your heart You are being blessed by what God is doing here. Huh? Wave to Jesus. Wave to Jesus. Now, let me tell you how Satan limits us in this life. Are you with me? Yes, again, sir, I'm sorry. I'm on your case. Let's assume 2 years ago, I and Pastor had a heated argument. Heated argument. I look at him, I say, I don't need you. He looked at me and said, short man like you, who will ever need you? Go your way. I go my way. Are you with me? Now, God has anointed me to teach understanding your calling. And God is dealing with him to bring someone to teach understanding your calling. And we have said, we don't need you. Will he be bold to call and say, can you come? So, he will not fulfill assignment. I will not fulfill assignment because we celebrate strife. But you know why I don't get into strife? I value my calling above every strife. Everybody seated here, please try and look around to your left, right, front, behind. What you are seeing are what? Carriers of grace. Everybody you are seeing is what? Carrier of grace. So if you cut off anyone, you are cutting off grace from your life. If you didn't hear anything from me tonight, please take this. Isolation is limitation. No calling can ever be fulfilled in isolation. Please do me a favor. Turn to 5 people and tell them, I need you. Thank you, man. Please sit down. Thank you. Sit down. I may raise you up. I may raise you again. Amen. Give the Lord a shout, somebody in the house. Give the Lord another shout in the house. Hey! Let me show you, for example, how you need people. If you are Paul, chief apostle to the Gentiles, you need Barnabas to introduce you to the brethren. You need Peter and John to give you right hand of fellowship. You need Timothy that you will mentor to pastor in Ephesus. They are not hearing me. You need John Mark. The same John Mark that you say cannot follow you for ministry. You need him in latter days to say he's profitable for ministry. Anything. Listen now. Anything that makes you to despise another is satanic. It's cutting you off grace. In talking about pursuit of calling, pursuit of ministry, let's learn to celebrate one another. Hey, relationship is very vital in ministry. Hallelujah. What? As if we should just close now. Did you gain anything? No wonder Abraham looked at his nephew. Lot was his nephew. Is Abraham God called? Not Lot. Lot followed him and prospered. Then there was strife. Abraham looked at him and said, let there be no strife between us. Why? He said, we be brethren. You know why? Strife cripples your calling. In talking about fulfilling calling, discovering your calling, one of the things you should have zero tolerance for is what? Strife. I may not visit your house, but I make sure I smile when I see you in case I need to visit your house tomorrow. Praise God. I don't mind this thing. It's been aired globally, so they may hear this, but no problem. Amen. One of my colleagues, a professor, called me, former colleague, one day and said, in 2 days' time, we're having a get-together. Everyone that has graduated, this is how the person put the words, everyone that has graduated from this department and is doing well, wherever, we want them to come home and do a celebration. He said, we will snap together, we'll have dinner, we will just... sir, I had two major meetings that weekend. So when I saw it in my mind, I said, what an insult. I will leave ministry to go and be snapping with sinners like you, mere mortals. Well, how many of us know it's stupidity to tell that colleague of mine, prof, I cannot leave the high call for a low call like yours. I'm conscious that I'm pastoring people. One day somebody, maybe in Gombe here, will say, I want admission. And I will need to call that person. If I tell them it's low calling, I cannot call them for their low calling. So I now reply, I say, hey, yeah, I'm very sorry. I wish you had told me earlier. I had accepted a preaching invitation that weekend, and so it's difficult to say no. But if you insist, I will come. He said, tap! Malam, go and serve God. Go and serve God. So if anybody see admission now, I will call. I say, ah, my brother, my sister, how are you? He say, yes, you are my sister. You are praying for us. Give admission. He say, yes. Don't be too quick to speak low of others. Because they are what? Carriers of grace. Talk to somebody. Say, I'm a carrier of grace. Tell the person, I'm a carrier of grace. So if you cut me off, tell the person, if you cut me off, you will be disgraced in life. To avoid disgrace, don't cut off any carrier of grace. Nobody is celebrating in the house. So you see why some people are disgraced in life? They cut off carriers of grace. The more you cut off carriers of grace, the less grace you have. Do you realize that if you are called to be a speaker, you need listeners? If you are called to teach, you need students? They know they hear me. If you are called to pastor, you need members? So I want to submit something to you. I hope somebody will accept that. No calling is inferior to the other. The same way key is not inferior to padlock. The one that waters is not inferior to the one that plants. No calling is inferior to the other. Let me tell somebody, no calling is inferior to the other. That means, if you agree with that, I want to say something. That if you feel inferior to another person, you don't understand your calling. So understanding your calling is a cure to inferiority complex. No calling. No calling is inferior to the other. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed already? How many callings are inferior to the other? Ah, sir, years ago God said something to me which really turned my ministry around. Know what he said to me? He said, your call, Joshua, is not inferior to any minister in the world. I say, how about God? Aregemana. How many of us sincerely, as I'm talking now, you have seen some people, you kind of feel your calling is inferior to theirs? Raise your hand now. I mean, same with me. God said, your calling is not inferior to any other person on earth. Then he added two things that helped me understand. He said, the only thing you have inferior to others is your commitment. Did you hear that? Huh? Your calling. Now, listen now. Let me make a statement that somebody should take home. Amen. Hopefully tomorrow I touch that more. The beauty of your calling is at the mercy of your commitment. The beauty of your calling is at the mercy of your commitment. If you find anybody shining in their calling, check their commitment. That's a real thing, commitment. But the beauty of your calling is at the mercy of your commitment. But see, the other thing God said to me that explained that, he said, in the place of your calling, go the people. So the place of your calling is the place of your shining in life. You want to shine in life? Find your place. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me do these three things, then we'll stop. Amen. Just three things. Go with me quickly, please. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. I read that scripture earlier. Oh, praise God. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is what? Called of God. Did you notice? In relation to the call of God, he talks about the honor of God. No one takes this honor to himself, but he that is what? Called of God. It means the call of God comes with the honor of God. The call of God comes with the honor of God. So the way to walk in divine honor is by what? Fulfilling your calling. Pursuit of your calling. I used to be a lecturer. Beautiful profession. I still love lecturing. Amen? I still love it. I'm telling you. I love to lecture. But assuming what I came to do in Gombe this week is lecturing in College of Medicine, Gombe State University. Visiting lecturer. Which I was one before I left. Assuming I came as visiting lecturer. Amen. Hello. How many of you would have noticed I arrived down? Only those in Gombe State University, College of Medicine, Physiology Department. But see now, my honor is no longer limited to physiology department. It's everyone in town, even those online, is global. Why? The place of call. Can I talk to you? The honor that your calling will give you is greater than that of your career. Don't despise your calling. I beg you. Don't despise your calling. Very important. Praise the Lord. There's honor in the place of your calling. You are representing God. When people see you as God, they are saying, let's read a little about the call of Moses. Is that okay? Amen. Exodus chapter 3. I will read some few things there, then go to another scripture, and that's where I will close for tonight, I hope. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 3. Now I'll begin from verse 1. You know why I'm laughing? My wife said to me, "Ma, and you know, if you're a pastor, anything your wife says about your ministry, you better believe it. Others may be afraid that you will rake on them if they say so. Your wife may fear you. True. In fact, if you're a pastor and your wife, they fear you, you are not born again. You are living right. Why would she fear you? That's the way they rub your head. She rub your head and you say, thank you, it's my pleasure. My wife said to me, there are many things you can do in ministry except one. I said, what is it? She said, to teach briefly. Every message must go very long. I looked at her, how dare you? Okay, I'll prove her wrong in the next world. Now, Moses was 10 years old. How many finally we are saying? Yeah? Four finally. Keep counting, man. Amen? But you know what? How many of you seen a fish that is tired of swimming? Why? Water is its natural habitat. Can I talk to you? Your place of calling is your natural habitat. That means you are your best in your place of calling. Anything you struggle to do, God has not assigned you to do that. Anything. Anything. I say it again. Anything you struggle to do, God has not assigned you to do that. Your calling is what you do with grace. And what you do with grace, grace makes us to function at ease. Okay, let me try this Moses story quickly. I'm sure there's something to learn here. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Next verse, please. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then what? Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? Help me read the next sentence with me. Next. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him. That means God used that burning bush to get Moses' attention to call him. Are you with me? Listen to me, child of God. Anytime God is said to reveal your calling to you, he will seek your attention. Why does God give us encounter? He's seeking our attention to reveal our calling to us. Why does God gather us in a meeting like this? He's seeking for what? Our attention to reveal our calling to us. You know why? The price you pay for revelation is what? Attention. God was not showing Moses magic. All he wanted was his attention. And when you hear a call for meeting like this, child of God, God has something to say. He's seeking your attention to reveal your calling. Anytime you see God seeking your attention, he has a revelation for you. One person said, amen. All right, let's read on. So, he said, Moses, Moses, and say, here am I. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. If I were Moses, I'd say, who are you? This is my grazing field that was given to me by President Buhari. You are telling me to remove shoe. But you know, like Pastor said, when God talked to you, you know. Moses didn't think twice. He knew who was talking. Say, remove your shoe, I remove. Moreover, he said, I am God. So if you go to people, say, am I God? Am I God? Am I God? The truth is, you are not. Or better say, you have not discovered your calling. That kind of talk, you won't get amen. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I'm taking off somewhere. Just go with me, please. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I don't know how many of us remember the story of Moses. How many of us knew that what God was telling Moses here, Moses experienced 40 years before that time? Is that not so? He saw the affliction of the people. Then he went out to fight. You mean to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? He took off. So when God was telling Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people, I can imagine Moses say, are you just seeing it? Why are you coming so late? God Almighty, you are coming 40 years after. Okay, let me continue. I want to show you something that will bless you. Amen? Let's read on. So God began to share the burden of his heart with Moses. He said, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian. I can see Moses dancing. That's what I've been waiting for 40 years. I've come down to bring them up from the land and take them to a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You say, I beg, do them quick, quick. You, they talk too much. Next verse. God said, now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel. God was sharing his burden with Moses. He said, see. Moses said, I've been seeing it. And I've also seen the oppression of the Egyptians. Moses said, I saw one. I even killed one. You are coming late. Abba, why didn't you come since? Then God said, come now, therefore, I will send you. Moses said, I'm sorry, I didn't know when I said it, but I've said it, amen. He said, come now, I will send. Now, I don't know, if you put yourself in Moses' shoe, you understand what I'm saying. This is what has burdened the heart of Moses for like 40 years. So when God was talking about it, Moses was happy. It's like some of us now, what is burdening your heart is you don't like the way they are ruling Nigeria. Have you seen some people talk about our leaders in Nigeria? They will talk and shed tears. See how Nigerians are suffering at their DN, Asuro, God could punish them. See what they are doing to Nigeria. Burden. Burden. Then in the midst of that burden, God said, come, I will send you. You know what that means? When God begins to share the burdens of his heart with you, he's revealing to you an aspect of your calling. Now, I've taught something that is supposed to be for tomorrow, but let me say it again. Burdens of your heart are pointers to your calling. No calling without burdens. Usually the burden will be there before the call came. So Moses had been carrying that burden for 40 years. Then the boys came. Two people had me. If you are sitting here, say amen. What burdens your heart is what you have been assigned to solve. But if there is nothing that burdens your heart, you are not born again. No, that's the truth. If you are born again and you are fellowshipping with God, he will share the burdens of his heart with you. How many of us know that if a husband is burdened, he will share it with his wife? The wife is burdened, she will share with the husband. And the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. So as you fellowship with Christ, what does he do? He shares the burden of his heart with you. I don't know some of us, if you have noticed what I'm saying, that sometimes when you are talking the burden of your heart with three friends, you'll be surprised they are not burdened. You are talking, your eyes are red and they are laughing. Say, wait till they make you cry for this one now. Say, oh, you see what bandits are doing in Nigeria, bandits. The person, they look at you. Is that the first time they are doing it? Maybe there's a call to be chief of army staff. That's why that burden is here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you see little children roaming around the street, you get angry. Why are they doing this to little children? Our future. There's an orphanage somewhere in your calling. You cannot see people poor. You are not happy. You want to teach them how to do business, empower them financially. There is a burden to be very rich in you. See, nobody is called to be rich for themselves. If you are called to be rich, one sign is you'll be burdened to help poor people do better in life. But if all you are thinking of the money is for you, your wife, your two children, and two dogs, and one rat, you're not called of God. If his calling is all about God and his agenda for others, say an amen. So another thing I want to suggest you go home with tonight is, what are the burdens of your heart? What is that burden that will not leave you? It's a pointer to your calling. Note it and begin to pray about it. Burdens. Burdens. You know how I first discovered my teaching grace? It began first with a desire to teach. Then the desire graduated to burden. I watched some people please don't misunderstand me now. What I'm talking about now is over 30 years ago. I'm talking about 1989, 1990. That's like 36 years. I'm not talking about Joshua now. Is that okay? Ah, they don't answer me. I hate people misunderstanding me. Is that okay? Sir, I will watch somebody teaching. The person will say, I am teaching on social subject. And because the person is misinterpreting Bible, I'll be weeping on my seat. In fact, in one meeting, I was seated in between three sisters, two on my left, one on my right. You know, ushers do wonderful things. Why would you put a brother in between two, three sisters? Be Sharia compliant. Jesus, you didn't hear that one. Amen. But I was in between them like that. A man said he was teaching. Hey, was just misinterpreting scripture. Right there on my seat, I started weeping. I didn't plan, burden. In between three sisters. I said, God, why will they, I was saying in my heart, why will you allow your people to suffer ignorance like this? Then the Lord said, because some people that have called to teach will not rise up to teach. So I said, oh Lord, let them rise up. I didn't know I was one of them. Let them rise up and teach. Sir, what happened next was the most interesting thing. The three sisters were pointing at me. He said, Holy Ghost, convict him. He must be born again today. Convict this sinner. When people are making mockery of you, don't be moved. They don't know what is happening internally. So don't feel bad that what burdens your heart does not burden another person. The calling is yours. It's not any other person's own. Say amen. So God said to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. How many of us agree verse 10 is the call of Moses? Is that a call? I beg now, I need you now. Is that a call? So go back to verse 8. Let me show you something about calling. Go back to verse 8. Ha. God said to Moses, so I have come down. Then he said to Moses, come now and I will send you. Oh, one person had me. God said to Moses, I have seen the affliction. I have come down. Then he said, Moses, come and I will send you. So how did God come down to deliver his people? Through the calling of Moses. Did you get that? So hear this. Hear this. It will bless you. Your calling is God manifest to humanity. Your calling is God manifest or revealed to humanity. So in the place of your calling, people will not see you. You know who they will see? They will see God. Hi. Now I'm touching some dangerous things. I don't know if they are hearing me. Who do people see in the place of your calling? Huh? So if you are wise, when people praise you for your calling, you will direct the praise to the owner. Because the one they are praising is not you. There's the way my wife says it. Say, when they say you're a great teacher and you allow your head to swell like balloon, God will take one pin, small pin, and pierce that balloon. And you will not find tea nor cha in your life. I tell people, make sure you always return the glory to where the grace came from. Grace came from God. Glory must go back to God. You know the songwriter says, it's all about you. You know that song? I won't sing, amen? Let's not expose something here. All right, come now. I will send you. Now, let me ask you, whose idea was it to deliver the children of Israel?
God. Whose people are they? God's people. Who was he sending? Moses. That means the calling is not about Moses. It's about God and his agenda for his people. Hey, let me say that one person needs to take this home. Listen, your calling is not about you. Don't ever be deceived. It's not about you. It's all about who? God and his agenda for his people. That's why, like Pastor was telling us, when Saul misbehaved, God said, I pick your neighbor. Because it's all about God and his agenda. It's not you. It's such an honor. The brother that led us to pray. It's an honor to be used by God. Every time God uses me to bless his people, I am humbled. I'll go to my room each time I finish ministration and say, Holy Spirit, it's only you and I that know the truth. All of them are thinking, this man is a great teacher. It's you and I that know there's no tea in my life except you. I just yield to the greatest teacher. And you find out that's the thing about calling. It's just yielding. It's not performing. It's what? Yielding. Maybe if I say it 3 times, you'll hear. Calling is not performance. It's what? Yielding. Yield to him. Give him the glory. Verse 11 will be my finally now. I have 3 minutes to go. Now, remember God said to Moses, I'm sending you to Egypt. Here Moses answered. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Let's read this in Message translation. If we read it, you will see what I'm looking for easily. Message, please. Moses answered God, but why me? What makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel? John, are you ready to help me? Please come quick. I have 2 minutes. Help me finish the message now. Did you feel qualified? You did not? How many of us know I called him for the assignment and he did not feel? Can I talk to you? You will never feel qualified for a divine assignment. Never! Never! God. Now you are used to the statement. God does not call qualified persons. But what does he do? He qualifies those he has called. Never feel qualified for a divine assignment. Come, oh, I never release you. We still have time. Come and finish it. Pastor is watching you. You are my assistant. Won't you do your job? You will do it. I grace you. Finish. Are you ready now to finish it?
Sir, please help me.
You say I should help him. So I have accepted to help him. Go and sit down. So from now till I stop, it's John that is ministering. When God gives you an assignment and it looks too big, what will you say? Please, Lord, help me. When the assignment looks too big for you to carry, what will you say? Please, Lord. God is telling you, I'm sending you to South Africa. You cannot even spell South. What do you say? Please, Lord. So what's a good prayer you should pray when it comes to your calling always? Please, Lord, help me. Now see, as I stop, when he said I should help him, I told him, sit down. He entered his rest and I'm doing the job. When you ask for rest, when you ask for help, you will enter your rest and God will do. Somebody shout, please, Lord, help me.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.